We're live, Craig.
Oh, I can't. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny
Jesus
Tuesday
Christ.
For Monday, November 12th, 2018. Don't be alarmed.
It's me, Greg Miller.
Yeah.
Alongside the verified one, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. This is impressive, is one word.
If you're an audio listener, we have the Fallout 76 Power Armor Edition came in today. Unboxed on my Instagram, and I was wearing the helmet. So that was a good gag.
Honestly?
That might be horrible for you, the audio listener, yeah, but the video listeners, they fucking loved it. Cool, Greg, did they love it in the chat?
Oh, they loved it.
Loved it, good.
It might be. It definitely is horrible. This thing, it sounds like the remember the Talk Boy?
Yeah, oh yeah.
From
Home Alone 2, of course. Yeah. Come on. How do I not remember?
But remember during that same era there was the little kid version of it that was like it looked like a robot that you put the thing in.
Oh, that guy was around before then. The guy from Toy Story and the penguin uses him and all that. Yeah. He was before Talk Boy.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. No, it's a very interesting piece of paraphernalia.
No, but honestly, jokes aside, this is pretty freaking legit. Yeah. I remember back in the day, Halo 3 came with the cat helmet.
Yep, exactly. Like, exactly. Well, my thing with this power armor helmet from Fallout 76 was the idea that, okay, cool, there's no way to fit my giant noggin. And then when we unboxed it, like, you know what? I put it on. I'm like, it fits my giant noggin. And so there you go. You got this. I got my Pip-Boys in the other room. Wow. My 101 hoodie. I'm ready to
go. You're ready, dude.
I'm ready to cosplay at any point.
Yeah. I'm in.
You can get the Instagram .com/GameOverGreggy where I am not verified. I unboxed that on my IGTV. Is the game any good? I don't know. We talked about this on Gamescast.
Yeah.
Where it's a very interesting thing that I played two nights of the beta.
Yeah.
And I can't decide if I like it or don't like it or what it is. I'm very excited still that tonight, hopefully.
That's the key, though, is that like the 2 hours you put in made you just want more to decide whether or not
I want to play
it.
More and see what it is like. Yeah.
That's good.
Here's the thing. Here's my prediction, Timmy. You're coming over for dinner tonight.
I am.
Because we have to do showcase stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to leave, and hopefully around that time, I'll be able to click on the beta or the actual Fallout 76 and get, 1201, all that jazz, get into it. But the first hour and a half is just going to be making my character look good or how I want it. And then I'll probably want to get into the actual game. And then we'll figure it out. We'll get there one day.
Life, man.
Life indeed, Tim.
Life happens.
What happened to your face?
On Saturday, we did the XO 2018 live reactions
with
What's Good Games Girls. And, we had some drinks.
Uh-huh.
We had some wine, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
They were there. And you and Jen left eventually, but we stayed and we partied like we do. And we were just drinking. And at some point, Andrea was dancing. It made me laugh.
Uh-huh.
So hard that you can imagine. You've seen me laugh.
I've seen you laugh. Emotive. You're animated.
And I swung down,
went
right onto the wine glass. Wine glass, totally fine. My face, absolutely not fine.
Not okay.
It hit me, blood everywhere.
Jeez. Yeah, that's why, you blade. If you're a professional wrestler, you blade up there because the forehead bleeds a lot.
Yeah. And it was kind of scary because it happened, and it was one of the things I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to go to the bathroom to
see
if there's a mark.
Yeah.
Then I look down, and everyone looks at me like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
that's not what you want. That's not the reaction you want.
So I don't know. I've been feeling a little loopy the last couple days. I've had a really bad headache. There's a ringing in this ear. But you know what? Here we are.
This is more
kind
and
of
more.
Kind of can't stop. The show
it
must
can,
go on.
And I'd really like you to go to the doctor after this.
We'll
this, of course, is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're one of the few thousand watching on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. I'm going home for Thanksgiving, so that means I'm getting out of my house and not hanging out with my family. I'm doing a Portillo's meet and greet Saturday, November 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. at Bloomingdale, Illinois Portillo's, if you didn't know. That's 134 East Lake Street. That's the one at Bloomingdale Road and Lake Street. Check out my Twitter for more details when I post it.
To be clear,
you're
trying to get away from your family.
It's a joke.
To go meet
it's a
your
joke.
Family.
Yeah. My mom, of course, works at that Portillo's. You can swing in and see big old Jamie Kennedy whenever you want at the Lake Street, Bloomingdale, at the Bloomingdale Road and Lake Street. It's confusing as I'm being very specific because a lot of times when you say it's the Portillo's in Bloomingdale, people go to this other one.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure they're going to
they
the
know exactly.
This is actually one we fell into in the old Game Over Greggy episodes where I called Linda and thought I was talking at one location and I wasn't talking to the right location.
Mm.
My mom will be there. I'm not sure if she's working or not, but she'll be there.
Her tweet was amazing. Yeah. Last night she tweets out, said, like, it's confirmed. Greg's going to be there, whatever. Yeah. And she keeps talking. She's like, and yes, big old Jamie Kennedy, parentheses, Greg's mom, comma, also me.
Yeah, yeah. Mom's on. Mom was riding my ass all weekend about getting the promo art for it.
Yeah.
For this. And I was just like, dying. I'm dying because of the showcase. Game showcase killing me. I will get you a thing by the end of day Monday. We'll see. Because when am I going to do that? It's also Thanksgiving next week, as that would point out, which means there's no Kind of Funny Morning Show or Kind of Funny Games Daily next week. Game Over Greggy Show, Gamescast, and Party Mode roll on, though, unaffected. But none of the live shows for the daily stuff. And then we're excited to say we've teamed up with the ESRB and Penny Arcade for Join the Conversation. The ESRB and Penny Arcade are working together to start a conversation about video games, ratings, and how to make sure content is appropriate for all ages and interests. We, that being them, want to hear from gamers, parents, and kids about how they use ESRB ratings, parental controls, and other tools to create an appropriate video game environment. You can join the conversation by telling your story and enter to win prizes such as a $25 GameStop gift card and a free grand prize trip for four to a 2019 PAX in North America event of your choosing. How do you enter? Head over to esrbconversations.org. That's esrbconversations.org. Enter with a story, tip, caption, photo, or video about how you, your friends, and your family use ESRB ratings and other tools to keep video games fun and age appropriate. The contest is judged, so take your time and be creative. You don't need to be a parent to enter. They want this to be for everyone to join the conversation. Enter at esrbconversations.org and get all the information and rules there. A cool partnership.
It is.
I like that the ESRB finally getting out in front of this and talking about it.
Let's have a dialogue.
Exactly. Here. And then they're trying to give away ships to PAX, which I'm always about. And then today we're brought to you by Loot Crate and MeUndies and Third Love, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
But it's a soft four. Really, it could be a 3.5, 3.1.
Well, one of them being the XO stuff, that's a lot.
So yeah, well, that's also, true.
Really,
that's true.
It could be 13.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But we're going to start with something you wanted to talk about.
Yes.
There's a Detective Pikachu trailer out today.
Yes, there is.
And you came in and asked me immediately, had I seen it?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no. And you said, it has no right to be this good.
Mm-hmm.
To which I thought, whatever, it's Pokemon, and I'm not. It's not my cup, yeah. Not my jam. And then I watched this trailer, and it was amazing.
It was amazing. I am so excited about this. I was saying on the morning show that I was completely wrong. I misjudged this when they first announced it. I'm like, why are they doing this? This is not what people want. This is not what people are looking for. And after seeing this trailer, I firmly believe that they are making all the right calls to begin what could be a beautiful Pokemon movie cinematic universe.
You think it's going to be that big?
I honestly think that this calling it right now. This has a chance to be the best video game movie we've seen thus far.
Hot damn.
Which I know isn't that the crazy bar of a statement, but there looks like there's so much love and care being put into this, both from a fan perspective of everywhere you look, there's like different Pokemon and different like posters referencing different places and championships. Like all the regions from like every generation has some type of shout out in this trailer. And I love that they're seamlessly blending the Generation 1 Pokemon that most people grew up playing with a lot of the more popular ones of other generations in a way that feels authentically Pokemon, of where Pokemon's at as a game series, as a TV franchise, all of that, with Ryan Reynolds and with comedy in a way that'll bring people like you in to be able to understand and get it.
Well, that was my biggest thing watching the trailer, right? Is I was like, well, I don't understand the source material really. Like, I've played a few here and there, but never at a completion or whatever. Watching the trailer, it was like, oh my gosh, this is just a good movie already. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can show that to somebody, I think, and they never even heard of Pokemon, which is hard to do, but watch it and be like, oh, this isn't tapping into the deep lore of Pokemon that I need to know this, that, and the other, or Ash, or any of that jazz. Mm-hmm. It's literally like, I mean, it sets up so well that, you know, Pikachu and humans, or Pokemon and humans, can't talk to each other. This one guy can now talk to Pikachu, and what happens from there?
Yeah. I'm super in. I think it looks great. I love the tone they're going for. I think it visually is fantastic. They somehow managed to blend live action and CG Pokemon in a way that doesn't come off as like too cartoony or too realistic. I like the aesthetic that they've designed for it, where it's like, oh man, this looks like a world that I can believe in. With these humans walking around with these things, it reminds me more of Who Framed Roger Rabbit than it does of Garfield.
Sure. No, right? I agree with that 100%.
Like, that's important.
Just looking at it from this one trailer glimpse, right? It's doing what I think video game movies need to try to do, which is, hey, here are the rules of this universe. It's not a big deal to have these Pokemon walking around. And yeah, the tournaments and being a Pokemon trainer and all that exists, but that's not what this movie's about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, let's not just adapt the plot of the games in movie form, because that doesn't work. Let's create a world that has all that stuff happening and like you have hints of it, but then show a side that makes more sense as the plot of a movie. And it's crazy because like I going into this, I was like, I want that thing. I want that
you
thing.
You want him to go
and
back.
Still, I do want that thing. And yeah. I feel like this is the best way to...
Gateway drug.
Like if this movie ends with like a end credit scene that like somehow builds up
a
character or something. Oh my God.
Team Rocket comes in.
Team motherfucker.
See, you think I'm not paying attention when you talk? I pay attention.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. Yeah, anyway, I'm very excited for it. And Ryan Reynolds, man.
When is it coming out?
Can do no wrong. Oh, I want to say March.
Okay. You're going to check for me?
I'm going to check right now.
Don't bother. You're wronging. We're checking you right now. No, that was the thing is Ryan Reynolds, when he got announced, I was like, oof, that's going to be so hard, right? Of like who Pikachu is in terms of that's what we're say. Who Pikachu, I assume Pikachu is, and how he not would talk, but what he would do and how he'd feel. And like, are we going to be able to get over? Is it just Deadpool? Is it that the other?
May 10th.
Watching that trailer, clearly it's Ryan Reynolds, but he's not just doing Deadpool. Like it is a Ryan Reynolds, and he's not doing Ryan Reynolds either. He's making a character there.
Yeah,
which I'm all about.
I love it.
Yeah, I'll be there opening night with you.
Let's go.
We'll play Pokemon Go Let's Go Pokemon Eevee Juju. What is it called?
Let's go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu.
Okay, where's the Pokemon on the title? Pokemon Let's Go. Is it Pokemon : Let's Go : Pikachu Eevee?
No, it's just Pokemon.
Pokemon : Let's Go : Pikachu ! Because we're talking straight to Pikachu and Eevee, correct? This is a command, right? It's like me going, hey, let's go, Pikachu.
I think so. I don't know, man. You lost me.
Sorry. I know you got a noggin that hurts. number two on the Roper Report, XO18 was this weekend. Many of you joined us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames for the party, as it turned out to be, because this wasn't E3. It was, let's just hang out and see what Xbox has got. And I think gamesindustry.biz described it as like their advertorial or whatever, their advertisement for everything. What'd you expect
for
from
Game
a guy?
Yeah.
But we thought we'd break it down for you today in bullet points. This isn't everything that happened at the Xbox event. This is some of the high points for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a huge push for Xbox Game Pass. This is straight from Xbox over on The Wire. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, PUBG, will be available to all members of Xbox Game Pass beginning November 12th. Thief of Thieves is officially available on Xbox One and Xbox Game Pass today, which was actually Saturday. Thief of Thieves being this Robert Kirkman book that I did not know about, that it slipped past me.
And it looked really cool.
Yeah, meant to download it when I got home. Totally forgot.
Yeah.
I'll get to it eventually.
One day.
Agents of Mayhem, MXGP3, and Thomas Was Alone are going to be coming to Xbox Game Pass November 22nd. Ori and the Blind Forest, Kingdom 2 Crowns, and Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice is coming to Xbox Game Pass this December. Starting this holiday, the list includes for Xbox Game Pass Aftercharge, Supermarket Shriek, Mutant Year Zero, Pathological 2, The Good Life, Void Bastards, which was a game announced at this showcase, which is coming to other stuff, console launch exclusive, I believe, on Xbox, though, and is from one of the directors of BioShock, and Secret Neighborhood. Furthermore, Xbox confirmed Ori and Will of the Wisps will be available in Xbox Game Pass, timed to its global release on Xbox One and Windows PC in 2019. Plus, starting over the weekend through January 3rd, you can sign up for Xbox Game Pass and receive your first full month for just $1. What do you think of that?
Great. Right? I mean, honestly, like, I feel like the Game Pass stuff is so important to focus on and to get as many people in as possible. And like knowing that all the first party titles are just part of it, which is why it's weirdly phrased here. The furthermore we confirmed Ori and the Will of the Wisps will be available. Wouldn't that be, are they not?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Kind of funny. No. Now you've lost me already. They're an exclusive for sure, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it was just, memory serves when they originally were like, hey, and Xbox Game Pass, it's all of our first part, or it's all of our exclusive lineup, including Crackdown. Mm-hmm. They listed games, so that gives them an out, I think.
I don't think so.
No?
Yeah, okay. No. They were like, all first party titles are day and date. Let us know if I'm wrong about that.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Yeah, I thought that was awesome. I think, you know, Again, we'll get to, let's recap it all and we'll just cover it. Mm-hmm. Crackdown 3 now has an official release date, February 15th, 2019. Sea of Thieves is changing in a big way with its fifth free content update since launch. The Arena will be releasing in 2019. It's an all-new competitive game mode that allows players to test their pirating skills in fast-paced matches against rival crews. State of Decay 2 on November 16th is getting a Zed Hunter update. Fortnite will start supporting keyboard and mouse on Xbox One on Wednesday, and then they announced the acquisition of two new studios that'll be exclusive, In Exile and Obsidian, of course, South Park, Stick of Truth, and Fallout New Vegas being mm-hmm. their biggest things there. Tim?
Yes.
We're removed from it.
Yep.
You might be concussed. What did you think of Xbox 018?
The thing is, I feel like it was very disappointing from a hype announcement standpoint and from a like surprises and from big deals.
Yeah.
I thought it was very well paced and a fun show for Xbox fans. And I think that it did a great job selling Game Pass for people that aren't already sold on it.
Yeah.
And it just reaffirmed to me where Xbox is as a company. They're like, look, we're building. Look, we're trying. There are key focus points for us, including Game Pass, including acquiring studios that we're working on now so that we can set up the pins to knock them down for next generation. We just keep seeing that over and over and over. I think not seeing any of the giant big titles, no Gears, no Halo, no new IP shown from those new partners.
Which was surprising.
I thought it was very surprising.
Not to Christine Steimer. She's the only one on the pre-show bet that said, no, they're not going to show a new IP.
But it's like, exclusive cool. IP. So this was what we expected, not what it could have been. And I feel like when you look at it through that lens, it's like, all right, cool. It was a fun thing. It was a fun Saturday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't regret it happening. which there has been situations where I see things.
Why do we waste our time?
Why are you even doing this? I think that I would love to see a lot more of these. I would love that for Inside Xbox to be this always.
Sure.
You know? But I feel like at the end of the day, the level of announcements made here weren't that much bigger than a normal Inside Xbox. And okay. The production value was a lot higher. And the look of it and everything was cool. I loved the hype. I loved the crowd being there. I'm seeing a ton of people say like, oh, the crowd was bought off. No, ladies and gentlemen, that was a real authentic crowd that was hyped to be there.
Sure. Like,
that's hilarious.
I think if you don't go to live events or Doom as much as we do, you don't maybe necessarily understand the excitement of something coming to your city, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think for Mexico City to have, hey, we're doing the Xbox, we're bringing back, you know, this, the XO presentation, we're going to do this thing, we're going to announce this thing, Phil Spencer, Jeff, you know, Major Nelson, like, that's all exciting and cool, especially if you're dialed into that audience, right? The same way, like, PSX is a fucking mm-hmm. party, right? And everybody's so jazzed to be there.
I think the most important takeaway from this event was I love Xbox's commitment to making acquiring new studios mm-hmm. something to be excited about,
sure,
and a newsworthy thing that is what their announcement that they're going to make on stage. I just feel like when we look at the history of video game press conferences, we've seen kind of a lot of shifts. It used to be a lot of charts and graphs and money and sales and all this stuff, and then they're like, no, we can be better than this. And then it kept going, and now we're at a point where it's like press conferences for the most part are really tight, buttoned up things that are, here's trailer, here's some like important people on stage saying things that are relevant and
yeah.
people care about. They're great. But I feel like studio announcements in the past weren't something that they're trying to let the mainstream audience know.
Sure. Well, here's the thing is you and I differ, not 100% obviously, but differ on this event. I thought this event was great, but I also, my expectations were for this. And mm-hmm. I think they delivered it in a really fun way. I think it was a really cool crowd. We had fun watching it. This wasn't, you're talking about buttoned up press conferences, right? This wasn't what that was. And I never expected that to be this. And I expected this to be, yes, this kind of party that hopefully was a little like PSX, and it was.
Well, I mean, here's my thing. Like, the word expect is weird because mm-hmm. for me, it's like, I expected this.
Yeah.
I wanted more. And I feel like there should be more. We've seen other companies do more.
Sure, but I think for us, literally us, the people who read the tea leaves and talk about this and try to break down what we're hearing, we just know they're not there. Yeah. Like, I didn't expect them to say, and here's the initiative's game. Like, the initiative isn't ready for that yet.
My argument to that is, then don't do it. Like, who are you doing this for then if it's not for us? Like, why not just have this be a normal thing and not hype it up in a way that it's something?
And that's where it gets interesting, right? Where I was like, I don't think they hyped this up at all. They blah, blah. And you guys were like, well, no, like, you and all of What's Good was like, no, Major Nelson's been tweeting about this. Somebody else said this thing.
Yeah, there's been a lot of little things. And like the one tweet that everybody's breaking down that we were talking about in our reaction content from Major Nelson going in about the hype levels being not quite E3, but whatever.
Close,
it's like there's ways you can look at the sentence structure and be like, oh, he's talking about how much he's going to be tweeting about the thing or whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, no matter what way you're looking at it, it's like we're comparing this now to E3. We're comparing this to PSX. We're comparing it to a Nintendo Direct. We're comparing it to a lot of different things. And while I do feel like it was very entertaining. It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
I just think
you wanted more.
I want Microsoft to have its own thing that we can look forward to every year.
Now, here's what where I was driving with the original point. You said, you know, it's a great way to get out to the mainstream, or why are you doing this for the mainstream, or so your announcements can be mainstream. What I love about this, and I've gone back and forth, and I've said before, and I've talked about, you know, Xbox laying this foundation, yada, yada, yada. This was such a great way of energizing that Xbox fan base that is still there, that does play everything primarily on Xbox and loves their Xbox and is so into their gamer score and so into Game Pass. And, you know, the same way I am about a PlayStation ecosystem, that Xbox ecosystem, and watering that and taking care of those people. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to do something like this to get them excited, for them to be excited. Mm-hmm. And with all due respect to everybody else, fuck everybody else. I don't care like what, you know, Joe Blow or what we're saying on Gamescast. Yeah. We're not in the Xbox ecosystem Absolutely. That way, right? Like, if the kids are coming out of that excited, if they're excited about this, if they're excited about the studio announcements, if they're excited, like, yes, thank you for showing you're putting money back into the Xbox, you're putting money back into this ecosystem, you're putting resources back in, that's why I'm going to keep playing here. That's what the mission, I think, was to accomplish for them.
I get that, and you're absolutely right. I just think, and again, this is as somebody that is currently much more a PlayStation and Nintendo focused gamer, with the exception of third party games that I rather play on Xbox One X,
sure,
because they've won me over with that, with way that they've talked about
the teraflops, like, and I'm not joking, like, it looks way better, right?
They're doing a lot of right moves, and like, they're building towards a better future. But at the end of the day, when PSX does that for you, but PSX also gives us Last of Us 2. Sure. It also gives us Uncharted. It also gives us like Final Fantasy 7 remake footage. It also gives us like any year, there's always been something from PSX that's like,
holy shit.
Oh shit, that's interesting. Yeah. And like last year's was the least interesting.
Sure.
But we still got like some cool announcements and whatever. But I just feel like there should be more. Yes, this was fine. Debatably good, if that's what you're looking for. But there's not a single person out there that can tell me that I'm in the Xbox ecosystem, I got this, and I wouldn't have liked something more.
Mm. Tim's Happiness writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey all, Tim's Happiness here. Thought he would be okay without me, but after I watched the XO18 stream, I flipped over to Kinda Good After Show and realized that I've completely abandoned him. Tim, if you can hear me, I'm sorry, I'm coming home. Back to the show. It turned into a 2-hour Xbox advertisement for Game Pass. And for me personally, that's completely awesome. I made the decision earlier this year to rely on Game Pass for a majority of my games going forward, and seeing the continued support of the service is great. Combine all the first-party games launching into Game Pass with the new studio announcements, and there's a lot to be excited about. Parentheses, that yet-to-be-announced $60 Obsidian game will be made available at no extra cost through Game Pass the day it launches, end parentheses. I don't need a date for Ori 2 or another trailer for Halo or Gears on the screen to get excited. We know those are coming. Since E3 2017, Microsoft has been extremely clear in their messaging and taking moments like this to further back up that messaging, parentheses, big Game Pass and new studio announcements, end parentheses, shows they are putting their money where their mouth is and making investments that will pay off for Xbox, for the gamers in the Xbox ecosystem. I think the show accomplished the goal of keeping their message alive and gives me as an Xbox gamer a reason to look forward to future announcements.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
But I mean, just that a lot of this, though, is like, you're right, we're going to get Ori 2 and we're going to get Halo in years. But until then, what am I playing on an Xbox? And like, that's my thing is like, they're putting their money where their mouth is. What have you done for me lately? Like, what's going on?
What's
right
in
now?
The immediate future is making me only play on Xbox?
And it's like Game Pass is to me, and I said this the day that it was announced, the biggest deal in video games that I think I've ever seen while covering games news.
Sure.
That happening is like, this is going to change the fucking game.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing that yet. You know, we're seeing that get built up. And I really think that we're going to see a throwdown in the next couple years. But until we're seeing these titles, we're just getting State of Decay. Which, you know what I mean?
I know. I do. I know. I do. I know. And that's what I'm saying. I just feel like, Xbox has to do something. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can sit there and be like, well, we don't have a big gun to fire. So I think they go out and they make the hype and they make Game Pass more and more valuable and more worth it.
I just think that like games like Ori 2, right? And Ori and Cuphead, like if Cuphead had been part of Game Pass and stuff, that would have been a great answer to this. That's a smaller title. you know, but it would have been a thing that got even more people playing, even more sales, and that's there'd be more goodwill towards Xbox's current lineup. Ori 2 coming is going to be, in my opinion, the first major Game Pass title that I'm like, I'm in for that.
Sure.
You know, well, Sea of Thieves was a brilliant move for them. They're now allowed to say how many players are playing it because everyone's playing it that's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Right? It's like that. It's a brilliant marketing strategy, and it seems to be paying off for them. I just feel that we need to start getting these games on that system for it to be worth it.
You talk about it being a game changer. Junie writes in, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, to kindoffunny.com/KFGDN says, 2-for-1 on this question. With Microsoft being crazy enough to put all their first party games into Game Pass, do you guys think that Sony would ever follow suit with PlayStation Now and add their first parties day and date? Also, with there being so many additive services like PlayStation Now, do you think PlayStation would ever consider a tier approach to PlayStation Plus? Say $40 for just online, $60 to add instant game collection, and then $80 to add in PS Now. Now, these prices are all guesstimates, and knowing PlayStation will probably be higher than I think, but a digital-focused future coming, do you think it's with a digital-focused future coming, do you think it's a possibility? Thanks for everything, guys. You keep up the good work, Junie.
I definitely think that's all possible. I don't think it's likely anytime soon, but yeah. I do feel it's one of those things where once it's out of the bottle, you can't put it back in. Once they commit to it and offer that type of service, I think that's going to be when we're here to stay. And we've talked about this so much on the show in the last year, but for a long time, there was a conversation of an all digital future. Mm-hmm. I feel like now we're starting to wrap our heads around a mostly digital future, not all,
sure,
where it's still, there is options for people that want to go all in and the people that are like, I'm still going to go physical or don't have the internet speeds to be able to keep up with all of this. And I can see PlayStation trying to come up with a solution for that, where they split their focus and still sell their games at retail price, just like Microsoft's doing, mm-hmm, but also building a amazing ecosystem that has all their first party titles available for one monthly price.
The thing about it, remember, is the reason, and I don't know this, I'm not on the inside of the boardroom. The reason Xbox is so aggressive with Game Pass and the reason they're doing this amazing deal and putting all this stuff right is because they're trying to make up ground, mm-hmm, and they're trying to start building the wrecking ball for why Xbox Next or whatever, the Scarlet or whatever, or Xbox in general is the best place to play. PlayStation doesn't have that problem. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man just sold better than any PlayStation exclusive ever. They are not about to go take their first party stuff and dump it into PS Now because they don't need to. They're making too much money the other way. If pendulum shifts and swings on Scarlet Generation or whatever comes after this, the next iterative cycle of consoles, that's when PlayStation has to get hungry and come up with an idea and figure out, oh shit, we need to actually play defense for a second. Right now they can just run out and do whatever they want and keep running away with it. You know, we just talked about it last week on Friday's Kind of Funny Games Daily. The fact that, what is it? It's now I'm rusty. Please don't you're wrong me on it. It's what, more than $275 million was made last quarter in these online instant streaming services, right? PlayStation Now being 52-53% of that.
Yeah.
Like, they are doing awesome. And that's and we've talked about it on this show, right? Where it's like, oh man, PlayStation Now. Oh, I don't use it, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's 52%. Like, a lot of people do use it and it's making them money.
And it does have PS4 downloads now.
Exactly. And they're not including this kind of stuff in there. So, no, they're not worried about doing this.
So, the counter argument to that is, I honestly wouldn't be surprised, even though they are winning, even though they are selling well and stuff. It's obviously working for Xbox, where it's like these numbers are benefiting them significantly.
Sure.
And that's not just because they're losing. Like, this, there is a business strategy here that works. And if PlayStation has 52%, don't you think they want 80?
Yeah.
You know?
But here's the thing is, they are saying, hey, would they be crazy enough to put all their first party games in? No. Some, yes.
Because
now I think you get to the question of, all right, Days Gone has been out, and I'm even talking like past, right, mm-hmm, or future. Days Gone's been out 2 months. It didn't sell that well. Is it a PlayStation Plus game now, or do we make a big deal about it being on PlayStation Now?
Yeah.
Where, hey, you can get in there, you can get this right now and play it all the way and try the streaming service and download it.
I just think that from everything that we've talked about in the past, the world's not equipped and ready for an all digital future.
Sure.
Which means that the people that would be interested in this PlayStation Now thing, it's a very limited subsect of the potential people buying games.
And that was the thing too, of the thing from Friday, right? It's like $275 million, which is 6% of all money made by video games in the quarter. So it's not,
yeah,
this isn't like that's a lot of money, obviously, for us. chuckleheads.
Well, I mean, 6%, that's big. And again, what if they can get that higher? What if they can? And if PlayStation came out and were like, yeah, no, fuck it, Spider-Man's there too. Everything. It's just like Microsoft. That'd be for all the ground Microsoft's made up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Sony just come in and be like, ha, we got you, bitches.
It's a great question.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, and then they're still selling the physical copies. I still think Spider-Man would be one of the top selling PlayStation games of all time physically, because we just saw that with Sea of Thieves. Like Sea of Thieves being there, whatever stat they put on it.
They put on it the XO18 event where they were like, it's the best selling
new IP on
Xbox. And people were like, well, does that include the free downloads? And they're not free, but you know, they're like, no.
It's just sales. And I think that when you start looking at that, I don't know. Maybe that's more people buying Days Gone.
It's very interesting, and I feel I was wrong about PlayStation Now. And not wrong, but like, it's doing really well, right? And it was that question of, man, is it doing well? Xbox keeps talking about Game Pass. You see all this stuff. Clearly, it's doing well without PlayStation having to do much with it.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they aren't advertising it more, they aren't making it more attractive, I do wonder, as I wondered when I thought it wasn't, maybe it wasn't doing that well, are they waiting for something big? Are they waiting for a big announcement? Are they waiting for a big push? Are they waiting for the next console? When do they pull a trigger?
And I feel like for them, because they've had this lineup, I don't know. Just hear me out for a second, Greg. Imagine
everybody
this.
Listen to Tim.
PlayStation 5, right? Hey, it's coming out. There's going to be physical games on it, but also there's a big focus on digital streaming, downloads, all that. PlayStation Now, they don't even call it that. They just come out and
they rebrand it.
They totally rebrand it, but they don't even mention the rebranding it. They just come out and they're just like, whatever it's called, PlayStation Game Collection or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And Instant Game Collection or whatever they used to call it. And it's all the PS4 games, they're on it.
Yeah.
All those first party hits from the last generation, like going further back, right? They're all there day one on this console. That would sell consoles.
Oh, yeah, 100%, right?
100%. And that would sell subscription services for people that will never stop paying month after month after month in addition to buying.
And that's the thing is, I'm with you of, I think that happens regardless. I think that is what PlayStation Now is becoming. It's just a question of, does Sony want to make a big deal about that and be like, all right, maybe you didn't come around last console, blah, 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 and it's streaming and it's this, and then here's everything you missed on this PlayStation Now.
But I think it's everything you missed and...
Going forward. My apologies. Okay.
I don't know. But I'm sure that they're looking at the dollar signs and moving them around and looking at the map of America and the map of the world when it comes to internet. And like trying to understand that. I'm sure that there is a science to boil down, like an equation to figure out. Well, hey, at the end of the day, X amount of people, no matter what, are not going to subscribe to this because their internet's simply not good enough.
Yeah.
So we're still relying on so many millions of people buying physical games.
Sure.
So it's not going to affect the sales there. Whereas we can get rely on a consistent subscriber fee of whatever it is, $40 a month or something like that forever. It's a lot of money.
And it's going to be interesting.
It is.
Number three on the Roper Report, Luke Smith, a Destiny director, has tweeted this. It's a simple thing. I just thought it was interesting. On Friday when you weren't here, Fran Mirabella joined us. Mm-hmm. We did a Destiny 2 thing about how in an Activision earnings call, they were like, we're not happy with the way Forsaken sold, right? Luke Smith fired off on Twitter, we are not disappointed with Forsaken. We set out to build a game that Destiny players would love. And at Bungie, we love it too. Building Destiny for players who love it is... Love it is and will remain our focus going forward. A simple clap back to this.
Yep.
And it doesn't negate what Activision said in their shareholders call or whatever. But it also then a lot of people bring up the fact that, I think it might have even been Jason Schreier commenting on this of like, the relationship between Activision and Bungie has always seemed tumultuous. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of even a public tiff, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy says something on a earnings call and then he hears Luke Smith saying something on Twitter about it as well. Of course, I think Destiny Bungie is happy with Forsaken because it is what the hardcore Destiny players want. You're hearing Fran talk about it, he gets those heart googly eyes and talks about how much they've nailed it and how happy he is and how he's trying to get everybody back to it. So
that's great.
Yeah.
I love this type of stuff. It's like, hey, transparency is great. Like if there's a kerfluffle, a problem on the internet, respond to it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting because I don't, when I read this quote from Luke, right. Or when I see this tweet, I'm like, well, yeah, we know you're happy with it. Like I figured you're happy with it and the audience is happy with it, but it's more the thing of, is Activision happy?
Yeah.
With it? People are paying.
But I think it's important because it's like, even though we can say we know, we are not disappointed with Forsaken. Like that is, you can't mince those words.
Sure.
Bungie, this is their stance. So,
final story on the Roper Report comes from US Gamer, where Matt Kim wrote about Chicago's PlayStation tax. I'm going to read this in full, so please go over to US Gamer, give them a click. PlayStation gamers will now be subject to the same amusement tax that other Chicago residents face when they try to have a nice weekend by going to the amusement park or a concert. The 9% tax will hit PlayStation services on November 14th, and the tax will be levied on PlayStation Store receipts, including PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Now, PlayStation View, PlayStation Music, PlayStation Video On Demand, and PlayStation Video Live Events. Reports from PlayStation users say they began receiving a notice of the tax earlier this week. Additional reports suggest local taxes will roll out to PlayStation in other areas, including New York City. Sony began enforcing local tax policies on PSN since 2016, and local taxes can affect everything from digital content to Amazon purchases, depending on where you live. PlayStation isn't the only digital service affected by Chicago's amusement tax. Spotify, Netflix, and Xbox are all subjected to the same taxes enacted under Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and has seen Netflix raise subscription prices in Chicago. The tax has also been called the Hamilton tax after its effect over the popular Broadway musical Hamilton, which is also taxed in Chicago. The tax isn't popular in the city of Chicago, but Emanuel says the taxes are necessary to shore up the city's pensions. Several companies like Apple and Netflix are taking action against the city for the taxes, but until any changes are made, PlayStation gamers are now subject to the same tax as other amusement activities.
Interesting.
We talk about this digital future and all that stuff, like, I hadn't heard about this in terms, you know, and I'm from the Chicago area or whatever, not that that would matter, but I haven't heard about the Xbox One or that. And it's just an interesting thing of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
everything's going to change. There's going to be all new rules.
Everybody's going to nickel and dime you every which way, trying to make sure they get their cut of this.
Yeah.
It's very fascinating. It's going to be interesting to see Apple and Netflix fighting and if they can get over it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I hadn't heard of this, so just food for thought.
Yeah.
Look
things
out.
Things are changing, man. Where are you going?
I was waiting for that was a good pregnant pause.
Okay.
We had a good pregnant pause. Yeah, I like trying to make people look at their phones. Me and Andrea had them really dead to rights a couple weeks ago. Tim, I can't wait to see what's happening with this amusement tax and these lawsuits and all that stuff.
So excited.
But it's so far away to find out what'll happen in the courtroom. If I wanted something more immediate, like what came to the mom and grub shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Cool, Greg. My tie clip was crooked for 36 minutes on this show. Where you at, man? You know? Think about it. Just think about it.
All
right? Out today, Pig Eat Ball, the 2D yummy barfing arcade game, is now on Steam. You remember Pig Eat Ball?
I don't.
Oh, really?
Pig Eat Ball.
Oh, maybe you've never been with me. I've played Pig Eat Ball at many... I'm going back to... Oof, man, one of the GDC indie events when we were still working at IGN.
Yeah.
Because it's a one-man team making Pig Eat Ball. It's a fun multiplayer game. It's going to be a party mode eventually. Okay. But yeah, it's out on Steam right now.
Great name.
New dates for you. Echo Combat, the latest installment of Ready at Dawn's Echo VR franchise, launches this Thursday, November 15th. Desert Child races on a Switch, PlayStation 4, and PC Mac/Linux on December 11th. It's going to be on the 12th on Xbox. For the King's next DLC adventure, Into the Deep, releases for free on November 21st. Origami Switch Edition has been pushed to 2019. Megalith Betas starts tomorrow on PlayStation VR for free. And then Chim Party swings to PlayStation 4 tomorrow.
All right,
it's one of them PlayLink games.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's like one of them party ones. Chim Party, you want to see the trailer?
I do. Cool, Greg. Yeah. Can you go to that sweet, nasty YouTube real quick?
Oh, man, my hair's crazy, too. Stupid fallout helmet. I need a haircut bad, Chim Party swings. You know what I mean? I need a haircut bad.
Chim Party.
Think Chimp Artie. Or chimp like party, chimp. But only one P. While you do that, I'm going to run you through deals of the day.
Please do.
We have two Black Friday things. This is from Xbox and PlayStation. Not together. Xbox says, Xbox is offering deep discounts up to 100% off select Xbox One consoles, bringing the Xbox One X down to its lowest price ever, starting at $399.99. You can score your first, we talked about this, Game Pass month for $1. Xbox Live Gold is also doing the first month for just $1.
It's 10 dimes.
That's true. We're offering savings as Xbox, not me, on titles such as Forza Horizon 4, Sea of Thieves, State of Decay 2, and more, but you should check out their whole Black Friday post for that information. Then PlayStation Black Friday deals read like this. A new Marvel... The Spider-Man PS4 bundle is out. What the fuck? Really? A new... it's not a pro. Okay, I see what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. You can get the Spider-Man Standard Edition PS4 bundle for $200.
Wow.
Yeah. You can get a DualShock 4 wireless controller for $40 at participating retailers. PlayStation VR systems are now available for $200. And PlayStation Plus is offering discounts on the 12-month subscription.
It's a great deal.
This is Chim Party here. You can see it's one of them PlayLink games.
Pull it up. Cool,
yeah, can you go picture him? Oh, Shuhei Yoshida, we know him. You play with your phone. I think I made a comment to...
Tom Holland.
No, Brian Deckert from Detroit Become Human. I made the comment on one of these shows where I was like, yeah, PlayLink's dead. And the internet's like, not really. And here's proof that no, they're still making PlayLink games. They've just been quiet about it. So there you go. Chim Party coming out. A little party game for you. Tim.
Yes.
As you know, you love a good deal.
I do.
You're paying attention. You're reading the tea leaves. You're excited for Black Friday, cyber stuff, all that jazz. Uh-huh. You love to cyber right here. Mm-hmm. Sammy writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with Black Friday a few weeks away, I wanted to know if PSN will have a sale and if that would be better or worse alternative to Cyber Monday to save on games.
The real answer for this is, like, if you have specific things that you want in the video game world, like, go to IGN and, like, they do a great deals wrap-up thing for Black Friday where, like, it's
and all Cyber
the deals
Monday, yeah, they run
it
all
compares
that
the whole weekend. Amazon has a cute name for, like, the 5 days that it is. I don't remember what it is, but
money, money, money.
It's money
day,
time.
Day. that's how you gotta say it too. That's how you gotta say it.
I would just check them out to see, like, specifically what you're looking for, because I mean, like, some of these PlayStation deals sound insane, like a Spider-Man PS4 with bundle. The game for $200.
Yeah. Wow. They're out there trying to kill it. You know what I mean? They're trying to get that money. Remember some of this Black Friday stuff because it's gonna come in later. Are your ears still ringing? Please go to the doctor. We don't need you on GOG.
I'll figure it out.
We don't need you. Time for reader mail, but first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Number one, Loot Crate. Are you aware of Loot Gaming? Mm-hmm. It's a monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates, designs, everything's themselves, and you can't find these items anywhere else. How do you know? Because we talk about it all the time. And what do we love drinking out of? Our Metal Gear Solid pint glass.
The Foxhound pint glass. Exactly. We got multiple of them here.
Yeah, there was one day where Nick and I were both using, it was that the GOG we just did where it was just us, and I was like, that's a good look for us because we both like those glasses.
They
so
look great.
Cool Greg, of course, is subscribed to a whole bunch of different pop culture crates over there from Loot Crate. He's using them left.
He loves
right.
those pins.
He does that. He has them all over
the cowardly
his
dog pin. He has our, show the people.
While you do that, I'm going to tell you this month's theme is victory. Or I'm sorry, it's blade. It's victory comes to the edge of a blade. Face your enemies with razor sharp gear from God of War, Elder Scrolls, Kingdom Hearts, and Assassin's Creed. You get a t-shirt in every crate. It's $60 or more of value for less than $29 a month. And the crate will sell out. So order this week. The best surprises for each month come from Loot Crate, of course, the largest geek and gaming subscription company. Subscribers are also automatically entered to win each month's epic drop. This is one epic drop that you can win each and every month. Right now, it's PlayStation 4 Pro and the God of War bundle. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games. My code GAMES, 30% off the subscription. Up next is MeUndies. Ooh. The holidays are here, and we have the perfect solution on what to give. MeUndies, of course. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know, I have been inundated by my wife sending me links to MeUndies because now they have their holiday onesies up. They have their holiday matching underwear sets up.
I got the onesie, Greg.
Did you? Which one? Oh. I don't want to match you. I want to match Jen.
I got the
okay.
Green
okay.
One. It is amazing. It has a hoodie.
Yeah. Like, did you already get it? Get it? Like, you have it?
I've been sleeping in it, Greg.
It's the same material as not part of the ad. I'm not even looking at the paper. This is the same material that I love in the underwear.
As the undies.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm just slip sliding around my bed. It is amazing.
All right. Well, Jen's going to get us both of them. I'll let you know. I'll have my own slip sliding adventures. Well,
I was wearing it and Gia's like, I got to get one.
Yeah. You got to match. You got to match. The other thing about the holiday prints is they're releasing a new holiday print each and every Tuesday as they lead into the holidays there. Men and women can choose from 4 different cuts for the underwear too, which I did not know, all of which are available from classic colors to the adventurous prints. Plus, they have that membership now. You can get the lounge pants, the tees, the undies, everything MeUndies makes for less than anybody else. Special member pricing is just one of the many perks of joining. MeUndies has an offer for you, the listeners. Any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. It's a no-brainer. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable underwear you'll ever put on. Get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. And finally, Third Love has an offer for all the kind of honeys out there. It's the perfect bra. Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind so that they fit impeccably and feel even better. You can skip the trip and find your perfect fit in 60 seconds online. Order, try it at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Gia loves her strapless ones.
She does.
Her her friend's boyfriends love the black lacy one.
And my, loves it as well.
In my gym, is that true?
That is true.
I'll have to amend the copy. And Jen didn't love hers. She bought one that was too big, but Third Love's free and easy returns made it simple for her to send it back and get the right one, which she did. Third Love takes its customer input seriously, and that's why they've launched their most requested style, cotton. You can get cotton bras and undies right now at Third Love. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra. That's 15% off your first purchase. Thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Remember everything I just said. Holidays are coming. You are running out of time.
Presents
do it
for
now.
Everyone.
You keep doing that thing, or you'll do it later. I'll do it later. You're not going to do it later. They're going to end up with a bad candy box nobody wants.
Get some undies.
William from San Antonio writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey guys, long time, first time. With the sad news of Stan Lee's death today, do you think that there will be any memorials or in-game events or anything like that in Spider-Man to commemorate his work to the Marvel franchise? If so, what do you expect slash would you like to see? Personally, I'd like to see a big old statue of him. Thanks for all that you guys do and keep up the good work, William.
That would be really cool.
I guarantee it.
You think?
I don't think it'll be a statue might be doable. Guarantee right now Insomniac is like, we got to do something. You figure they still have one more DLC for December.
You're right. Yeah.
And this isn't a spoiler, but stick with me. I'm not going to reveal the event. There's a big event that happens in the game. If you remember, well, I don't know if you know the story, so that doesn't help you at all. A big event that happens in a public square in the game. Bad things happen. If you go to that game in the DLC, there's a plaque there commemorating that event in the game.
Oh.
And I think I could see them doing something like that, even if it is, can we spoil Spider-Man at this point? Anything about Spider-Man?
I wouldn't.
Even if it is just, a plaque in a random place that you would expect to find Stan Lee. Something to that effect. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I think on the third one, there will be some kind of nod to Stan. I don't know what that means. I don't think, sadly, I don't think it'll be as intense as they'd love to, as we'd all love it to be.
I mean, I thought that it was unlikely just because the game's done, but yeah, you're right. The DLC is coming and I don't know how hard it would be to make something like a statue and put it
even
in there,
if it, I mean, and let's just dial it back even more than that, right? In the credits of episode three, credits for episode two, they're probably patching right now to be able to say, in memory of Stanley or something like that. I think that's what you'll see there. But then beyond that, I think for the rest of eternity, every Marvel game you get will have some nod, some reference, some loving touch put somewhere for him. Because, of course, a very, very sad day today, right?
Yeah.
You want to honor a man who's done so much good for comics. John Sriracha Shea writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I'm the owner of a launch PS4, and it's pretty damn loud. I've considered getting a PS4 Pro, but have been on the fence since my launch PS4 still runs well. With the PlayStation 5 not far away and the new quieter PlayStation 4 Pro being just released, do you think it's worth upgrading at this point, or should I hold off until the PS5? Thanks for all you do, and give Big Kev Dog a hug from a fellow AV tech.
I'm just going to be real honest with
you. Be real honest.
Being real honest here, Greg. I don't think we're ever going to see a PlayStation console that doesn't sound like a jet taking off.
Dude, my PlayStation 4 Pro, I was, working on my Assassin's Platinum and doing all that stuff. It sounded just the entire time, I'm like, motherfucker, I gotta get up and air you.
I guess so. Yeah, my PS4 Pro does. We've had how many PS4 regular and pros in this office?
Yeah.
I don't know about this new model CUH.
That was something that I think Digital Foundry or somebody did something last week late of like, oh yeah, the new PlayStation 4 Pro is actually a lot quieter.
Cool. We'll see how long that lasts. I don't believe it.
John, a PlayStation 4 Pro owner, I bought it because my other PlayStation 4 was finally pooping out. That's why I bought it. If your PlayStation 4 is running fine, I don't see the point. I know you're way more bells and whistles and resolution and all that jazz.
But then again, the Xbox One X is so much better.
So what do you say? Just wait it out? Black Friday, a lot of deals like we just talked
about.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It really depends on what you're looking to get out of this thing. It's going to be real nice playing Death Stranding and Last of Us Part 2 on a PS4 Pro.
Sure.
So maybe that'll be close enough to a PS5. We don't know.
Charles Jacobson writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, after listening to a heated discussion during XO18 between Andrea and Tim about the Crackdown 3 scores, I woke up Sunday and thought of a question for Tim. He said Smash Ultimate will be the best and best-selling Smash, but he also thinks Spirits and other parts of the game will drag down the score. So my question is this. Will it be the best-rated Smash based on Metacritic? The current numbers are as follows, and this is as of 11/11. Super Smash Brothers, 79. Super Smash Brothers Melee, 92. Super Smash Brothers Brawl, 93. Super Smash Brothers for Wii U, 92. Super Smash Brothers for Nintendo 3DS, 85. That means, if we don't include the 3DS version, console Smash remains 92 to 93 since Melee. So, for the sake of my question, let's just say we'll average 93, and none of this, quote, it would be if they remove this and that, end quote. It's based on the game as it launches.
It's a tough one. I stand by the sales. The reviews, it really can go either way, but I probably would say that this is going to end up being the highest rated Smash game. I think it's because just the way that people review games and like just knowing being on the inside of that process, and also when it's games like Smash Brothers, I think more people are interested in this Smash than ever before.
Yep.
And I feel like that gets taken in consideration with review scores of this type of game. And I think that it's going to get a higher score than the Wii U version. And because of that, I think that it's going to end up averaging out at least a 93, I think.
I think it's going to be the highest scoring Smash. I think I agree with you, right? If people are going to ding it on stuff, it's going to be, hey, oh man, the story's not that great. But you can say the story's not that great and then also realize that there's how many characters in the fucking game? 76 or something ridiculous, I mean, like that?
Depending if you count Echoes and stuff, it's like close to 80.
The breadth of content that's there, right? This giant, like, it's everything you've... Mm-hmm. That's not going to be lost on people in terms of what they're looking for.
Yeah. I'm really interested in seeing reviews for this game. Like, just in terms of, like, how deep they go. Because I don't think that too many reviewers are going to be super deep on it.
In terms of...
And not to shit-talk people, but it's just like, I don't think people are going to like try to like really play through all the different modes in a significant way. They're going to play a little bit of Spears and be like, all right, cool, whatever, and like ding a little bit for this, but they're not going to like fully commit to the whole thing.
Then they're going
to
talk about the week of time they played with it, right? And after-hour parties and exactly. How much fun it was and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, so because of that, I think it's safe to say it'll be the best-reviewed Smash Brothers game. Will it average higher than a 93? I don't know, because that is still pretty high.
Yeah.
You know, like it would have to get a lot of tens for it to get bumped up there in the Metacritic, but it could do it. I believe it.
Jake from Mizzou, M-I-Z, writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, for a J1100 project, we have to create a news outlet complete with a mission statement, code of ethics, audience engagement strategy, and business plan. We decided to make a podcast. In my group, I was assigned the business plan, and I'm focusing it around Patreon. I mostly understand how Patreon works, but how do you guys choose or obtain your ads for the show? I have to discuss specific advertisers we would have for our show, parentheses, we are focusing on unique international news, and was curious if you had any ideas. By the way, I would have done gaming, but I could not convince my group.
That's funny. The way that we do advertisements is simple. You link up with a company that focuses purely on matchmaking advertisers to products to be able to put ads in. Brewster Teeth are our group that we have for that. Yeah. Like in the YouTube world, they're called MCNs.
Multi-channel networks.
Where there's sales teams that represent different groups and then go out and sell their content. And so for us, for example, Brewster Teeth will have a sales deck that they go out into a bunch of different companies, because there's advertising companies that specifically focus in podcast advertisement.
Sure.
So Rooster Teeth will go to them, have a whole presentation slide deck, and it'll be like, here's all Rooster Teeth shows, here's Kind of Funny's lineup, and it's like Game Over Greggy Show, Gamescast, this, alongside it are a bunch of our stats about the show and like random information for them to understand what they'd be buying. Then they take it to those companies, and those companies represent a ton of different brands. And they look at all those and go, ooh, this would be a good fit here. This would be a good fit for that show. So it's kind of out of our hands.
Sure. But then what I like about this and how we are able to do this, right? We're independently owned and operated. We're teamed up with Rooster Teeth for this, right? So mm-hmm. They come back to us then and go, hey, these brands want to be on the show. Are you guys cool with that? Does this make sense
to
you?
It actually starts earlier than that. So earlier than
that. I don't
even
know how our business works, everybody.
Earlier than that, there's a conversation where I'd say once a quarter, our salespeople over at Rooster Teeth will do a call with me and we'll go one by one through a list of potential advertisers.
Yeah.
And I tell them either, no, we want to pass on them. We don't want their business. Either, yes, we've used them before and can stand by that. Or we're interested, but we want to try the product. We want more information. And then we go through them. And at this point, you know, we've done this for a long time. So, like, we are pretty familiar with MeUndies and Third Love and all the
Blue Apron, man.
Blue Apron. And then they take it back. And that informs them on who they're pitching what.
And then outside of that, because we're independent, we can go get our own ad deals, right? Yeah. So if we have a conversation with somebody like, oh, we'd love to advertise with you, we can talk about that, set that up, do whatever, and then just inform Rooster Teeth of like, cool, we need less ads this day or however this works.
Yeah. And so to answer your question specifically about, I have to discuss specific advertisers we would have for our show. It honestly doesn't work that way. It's not the type of thing of like, you know what? We're making a show called Love and Sex Stuff. We're going to go to Trojan and get Trojan because that makes sense. That's just not the world that we live in unless you have an amazing sales team. You could do that. But for a news organization like this, it would definitely be linking up with professionals that do this, solely this, and it would be a process similar to what we did because that's exactly how IGN functions, and they're a lot bigger than us. But instead of them having a middleman sales team, they have their own sales team.
Gotcha.
That is, their sales team is going to these podcast advertising conglomerates. AdSense, Midroll. Sure. They have a whole bunch of fun names.
Good job. I'm glad you're here. Otherwise, I would have just lied and been wrong. Austin T writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey guys, are we due for Watch Dogs 3 in 2019? Considering Assassin's Creed is taking another well-deserved year-long nap and our front runner for big spring Ubisoft game is The Division 2, I think that makes fall 2019 a prime spot for a possible Watch Dogs 3, especially considering we got Watch Dogs 2 in 2016. If Watch Dogs is coming in the future, where would you like to see it take place? If it isn't coming, I sure hope Splinter Cell is real and ends up taking that fall 2019 spot. Heart.
I'm super surprised we haven't seen Splinter Cell yet.
Yeah, me too.
I still believe
that's our prediction every time.
It'll be next year. Yeah, we just keep predicting that. Watch Dogs, yeah. Watch Dogs 2, I feel, kind of came out of nowhere and then happened.
Yeah. The problem with Watch Dogs 2 was very much that game was awesome. I stand by how much I love that game, and it was a great platinum. It was a great thing. It was a fun story with fun characters. It didn't perform. And I really do think that makes it very questionable if you're going to get a Watch Dogs 3.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And granted, how much
Ubisoft, man. They don't give a fuck.
I know. And it's how much have we invested in the brand name of that IP? That is an IP. People understand Watch Dogs, right? But do you get a third try to try to like, all right, let's make it resonate with people? And granted, do you get a third try to take every lesson you've learned from Assassin's Creed and Division and For Honor and how to make a game last and make people come back to it all the time? Like, are they going to do that? But I just feel like even though I tried and I waved that banner of like everybody's sleeping on Watch Dogs 2, it's a great game. And I remember them discounting it at one point. But it had like numbers, but it didn't do numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's good. I think Splinter Cell is way more likely.
Is it confirmed that there's no Assassin's Creed next year?
Yeah, at least they're taking another year off. Yeah. Good for them. Yeah. Odyssey, dude. What a fucking game.
Yeah.
I crossed 75 hours in it.
My God.
You know what I mean? And like, I'm trying to platinum it, but it's not even about platinuming it. It's just about like still doing Cassandra's story and stuff. And I finished off the other major storylines yesterday. What Got a fucking you. Game. Final question comes from Fusion Orc. Fusion Orc writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Tetris Effect is so good, it has motivated me to buy a PSVR. Do I need wands or no? Totally depends on what other games you're excited for. Make a list and go from there.
I still haven't played this game. I saw the launch trailer for it. I'm just like, I'm fucking up. This looks like such a mean game.
It's awesome.
But I'm like, I need to play it in VR. Like, I need to just set up Kevin or whoever the hell's is here.
It's the office one. Yeah, I have it in my desk.
Oh my God. I need to try it.
Yeah, you got to. It's amazing in VR. And then, I mean, my next thing, of course, is Beat Sabers this month. And you definitely need wands for that. So if you look at Beat Saber and you're like, yep, then get the wands. And then you can play super hot that way. And there's a bunch of different options, but wands are how you want it to be. It's in VR, right? You want to see your hands and wiggle them around. Tim?
Yep.
It's time to squad up.
Yes, it is.
This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Bad Mark needs help on PlayStation 4. No, It's not his name. That's just what he listed it as. His PSN name is Marquito underscore TSO. M-A-R-Q-U-I-T-O underscore TSO. Bad Mark says, kind of funny, best friends. You're my only hope. Actually, I'm just looking for help in the last wish raid on Destiny 2. Long story short, my wife and I just had our son. He is just 1 month old and squeezing 10 minutes here and there to play is hard enough. Several hours is just not realistic. However, my wife is going with him for a week to Grandpa's, and it's my last chance in a while. At least, just the first couple of encounters would be great. I live in Tokyo, so the time difference might be hard, but I can adapt, especially during weekends. Have a great one. Keep doing your awesome. Keep doing your awesome, and thanks. There's no commas there, so do we do a your awesome? Is that a segment we do somewhere? You are awesome?
No.
An average warlock slash titan, Marquito underscore TSO. Destiny Guardians, this is a call from a new father that he needs to play some games before the kid eats up all his time in life savings. Hit him up. Marquito underscore TSO. Tim?
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody. What do we mess up today?
Sorry, I was on my phone because I panicked realizing the iPad's dead. So I was like, oh, fuck, you're wrong. And then I had to find it and I didn't have the link ready.
Is there no charger down here?
I don't know. Something's going on.
Cool, Greg. Charger's missing.
Kebabs writes in and says the official title of the Let's Go duo of Pokemon games is Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu slash Eevee in Greg Talk. That's Pokemon colon Let's Go comma Pikachu exclamation mark.
Thank you.
Exclamation point. It's a question mark.
Did you hear my stomach?
Yeah.
I'm fucking hungry.
Oh my God. That was intense.
Speed it the fuck up. I don't care about your stupid squirrels in a bowl.
Austin, what? Austin from Austin says, Greg missed out what was clearly the biggest news from XO18. Winnie the Pooh returns for Kingdom Hearts 3. Hell yeah. I'm right there with you, buddy. Parker Petrov says, Tim and Greg asked about the Ori games and the Game Pass status. Ori and the Will of the Wisps is made by Moon Studios and published by Microsoft, but is not a Microsoft studio. Okay.
Cool. Thank you very much.
And a quote from Phil Spencer, moving forward, we plan to release all new Xbox One exclusive games from Microsoft Studios. Same day and date.
Thank you.
AAG, that guy says, I was at the XO18 as press. People were not bought off, but there were staff hyping people up because there was a language barrier in which people didn't immediately get what they were hearing. And I get why it felt forced.
They did a lot of the hoo, hoo, hoo. Like, yeah. That was crazy. Is that a thing in Mexico City? Terrifying.
I don't know. Capitalist Pig says, regarding the year Greg first played Piggy Ball, the first time he played Piggy Ball was the GDC Indie Mix all the way back in 2012, hosted by IGN. It had the butt wiggle function that was later took out. I know because I was literally standing right behind you at the time.
Fair. Okay. It's good Super Nintendo today.
Zaire says, new dates. All six Five Nights at Freddy games are getting HD ports coming to Switch, Xbox One, and PS4 in 2019. And then finally, Zara says, just checked, and Greg's still not verified.
Apparently, I don't know who was running Kinda Funny Twitter last night. They tweeted me to let me know that Kinda Funny vids on Instagram got denied verification.
Huh?
But I'm like, I don't know where that notification is coming. Like, I checked everything. I got nothing from... I'm just shooting it off into fucking space for Instagram.
I don't know, man.
Shit sucks, man. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, consider supporting us on Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. If you like what we do. If you don't, no big deal. See you never again.
Yeah.
Hosts for the week. Tuesday, it's Andrea and Tim. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Whitta. Thursday, it's me and John Phipps. Friday, Greg and Andrew.
Oh, man.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.